It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're in the book of Numbers as we kind of survey the book of Numbers, and we're in Numbers chapter 14. We're going to begin reading with verse 33 and actually 34. And so Numbers chapter 14, verse 34, and read to the end of the chapter. So while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you would like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. It's going to be a wonderful study today, as each and every study, every time we open the Word of God, we find it to be true. It's a wonderful study. Numbers chapter 14, beginning to read with verse 34. After the number of days in which ye search the land, even 40 days, each day for a year shall bear your iniquities, even 40 years. Ye shall know my breach of promise. I, the Lord, have said, I will surely do it unto all this evil congregation that are gathered together against me in this wilderness. They shall be consumed, and there they shall die. And the men which Moses sent to search the land, who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up a slander upon the land, even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land die by the plague before the Lord. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of the men that went to search the land, live still. And Moses told these sayings unto all the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly. And they rose up early in the morning, and got them up into the top of the mountain, saying, Lo, we be here, and will go up unto the place which the Lord hath promised, for we have sinned. And Moses said, Wherefore now do ye transgress the commandment of the Lord? But it shall not prosper. Go not up, for the Lord is not among you, that ye be not smitten before your enemies. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and ye shall fall by the sword, because ye are turned away from the Lord. Therefore the Lord will not be with you. But they presumed to go up unto the hilltop. Nevertheless, the ark of the covenant of the Lord and Moses departed not out of the camp. Then the Amalekites came down, and the Canaanites which dwelt in that hill smote them and discomfited them even unto Horam. We're going to end with the reading right there and begin with prayer. Father, we thank you today that we can come and enjoy this precious time together. It's just so wonderful to open your word and have this precious book before us. Please, that you show us your strength and your way and your will today. Please, dear Lord, that you'll just teach us exactly what we're to learn from this text today, whether it be for salvation. We have many examples here that, God, your timing, Father, your timing and our timing is not the same. And so please that we learn that. And please that we learn also the commandments and the will that you desire for us, because we know that this promised land that you have set before them is a land flowing with milk and honey, and you want your family, your people, to go in there. And Father, they refuse to because they don't trust your strength. Well, see that we don't follow that same course, but we trust your strength and your power. Father, thank you for the day that you've given us now, and please guide and lead us through these scripture verses, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have a problem here. They have arrived to Kadesh Barnea. They've sent in the spies. The spies came back. 10 came back with an evil report, a good report of the land, but an evil report because they would not trust the Lord. God says, take it, and they refuse to. God never really intended, as we look back in Deuteronomy, if you'll remember that scripture verse. It was Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 20 through 22, that talked about that it was not God's plan, it was not God's idea for these people to go search the land out before they took it. They were just to take it. God knew what was there. They didn't need to know any further. But in Deuteronomy, it says that every one of them came to Moses and complained that, you know, we need to send somebody in, search this land out. We need to know what we're getting into. And so we do the same thing so often. We're so concerned about our thoughts and our ways that that we do things that are contrary to the will of God. And if the people would have come back, looked at the giants, looked at the land, looked at the walled cities, and still said, oh, Lord, we should have trusted you. Forgive us for this lack of faith. We will take this land. They would have moved right into it. But instead of that, they let the circumstances, they let the situation control them instead of the faith that they should have had in God to deliver them there. So we find that here comes the wrath of God. And so, and I want to read back just a little bit, because they spoke of their wives and their children that would be killed if they would go up and take this land, be slaughtered by the sword. And instead of that, why, we find here that the judgment will come upon those adults that would not look and would not go that direction. And so let me just begin here with the 26th verse and read down to the verse 33 that we have been through in this past time we were together. So let's look now at verse 26. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmured against me. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me, doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swore to make ye dwell therein, save Caleb and Joshua. But your little ones, which ye said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years, and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. After the number of days in which ye search the land, even 40 days, each day for a year shall ye bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. I, the Lord, have said, I will surely do it unto all this evil congregation that are gathered together against me in this wilderness. They shall be consumed, and there they shall die. And then the 36th verse, I read down through verse 35. But down through verse 36, we find that then those that spied out the land, the 10 that gave the evil report, those will be judged first and immediately. Now, one day per year, in other words, a day that they looked at the land and they searched it high and low. They looked it all over. They saw it all. And yet they would not trust the Lord for His strength. And God puts us through tests often. And often we fail Him just like the Israelites do. You know, He doesn't just make everything look like roses. But He says, here's what we're to do. And so now I want you to do it. And I want you to trust me that I will give you the power to do it. But most of the time we return and we come back weak-kneed and say, we can't do that. There's no way. No, it's just impossible that we could do that or perform this duty. And so in turn, as the Israelites, they missed the blessing. They didn't get to go into the promised land. And worse than that, they had to wander around in the wilderness for 40 years. Well, most of us do the same thing. Number one, we must come by faith to Jesus Christ. That's first and foremost. We've got to trust in Jesus as our personal Savior. And that is a relationship. That's something that you, as you come to, as another person, husband and wife, as you acknowledge their presence, their existence, their life, there's a personal relationship that you have with your spouse. Now, we must have a personal relationship with our Lord because He is a living being. He is God, yes, but He is alive, and you need to come to know Him. Well, there's a problem. There's a bridge here that we need to cross. There's a big gulf that has to be taken care of because we cannot just go right up to God and say, God, here I am. I'm sure glad to meet you. Because you see, we are sinners and we are condemned already to die. You can find that very, very clearly in the book of John. Romans speaks of it too. The condemnation, condemned. Now, we are condemned already. And so being condemned already, we need to figure out how we're going to get from this side to that side, from man's evil, wicked side to God's side. And the only way we can do that is to come to our Lord and say, Jesus, I know that you died on the cross of Calvary. I know that you died on that cross that I can live. And I know that grave didn't keep you either. 3 days later, you rose from the dead. And, oh, dear Father, I thank you that you sent your Son. And, dear Jesus, I trust in you today as my Savior. Come into my heart and save me, please. And your sins will be taken away as far as the east is from the west. And you'll begin a wonderful walk. Well, the picture we have of that is when they crossed through the Red Sea. That was a picture of that, of coming from the other side, coming from the world heading to the promised land. And so we know that Egypt always stands for the world, and so they crossed that Red Sea. And you see, once you become a child of God, there's no return. That sea that opened up for them filled right back up again, and there was no going back. There was no return. And we cannot return back. Our salvation is sure. Our salvation is positive. Once we come by faith to Jesus, it's ours because He keeps us. He has sealed us with His Holy Spirit. So it's a wonderful work that is taken care of there. Now we just need to set our life on to the promised land. But the sad thing is that many people, when they get to the gates of the promised land, and this isn't heaven, my friend, this is here on earth, because there's still battles, and there's still trials, and there's still tribulations, but there is great victories if we'll just follow by faith our Lord. Well, they came to this place, this gate, so to speak, here at Kadesh Barnea. And the spies went up and came back, and we know the report. We've talked about that. 10 says, no, can't do it. 2 says, yes, without a doubt, God will go before us, and He will deliver us. Well, most today churches follow a majority, and that's exactly what this group did. The people listened to the majority, listened to those 10, and they did not want to trust in the Lord to go. So they said, you know, our children, our wives, they'll fall by the sword. Why didn't you just let us go back to Egypt, you know? Let's get someone to take us back to Egypt. Well, they found the fury of the Lord. And so for the rest of the lives of those that are 20 years old and upward, they will all never see the promised land. Husbands and wives, the children got to go in. Now, you stop and think about that. They are not strong enough to have the victory, to go into the promised land, and yet their children will go in? You see, it doesn't matter the number. It doesn't matter your strength. It just matters whether God is on your side. And it's not that you know, we need to join God's side. In other words, we don't plead and beg God to join us. We need to see that we have joined Him. And so He is not on our side. We need to be on His side. And we need to be in prayer that we are in His will and doing His will and on His side. Well, these adults here chose not to. And I want you to see now, after the number of the days in which ye search the land, even 40 days, each day for a year shall ye bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. It's coming to an end here. During that 40 years, in other words, they're not in the wilderness for 40 years, and then they get another opportunity. The opportunity's over. And so how many times have you missed doing something God has called you to do? And so in turn, you have spent your whole lifetime in the wilderness. And I'm talking about after you're saved. I'm not talking about before you're saved. I'm talking about after you're saved. You have chose not to come by faith and follow the Lord and serve the Lord. You've kind of continued to stay very much with the world. And so when you see this and when you do this, you live a most miserable life, a life here upon the earth. Now, to go into the promised land isn't a perfect life. There's battles again to be fought. Sin, oh, flesh still exists. All these things are still there. But you're in a place where God wants to bless you and will bless you. Maybe not financially, maybe financially. Maybe with good health, maybe not with good health. But He will bless you. And you say, well, if you don't have money and you don't have health, what have you got? Oh, my friend, you got the grace of God. You have the grace of God and the strength of God. And please, that you see its power and its strength. So now, we begin here, and we look, and it says, after the number of these days, so it's 40 days, turns into 40 years. I, the Lord, have said, I will surely do it unto this evil congregation that are gathered together against me in this wilderness. They shall be consumed, and there they shall die. And the men which Moses sent to search the land, this is verse 36, who turned and made all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up slander upon the land. Even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land died by the plague before the Lord. Leaders, now we're going to back all the way up to the first leader, and that, of course, the first leader we find to be husbands. Husbands, you're to be the spiritual leader of your household. I'm ashamed many times because instead of husband you, father you being the leader, and you say, we're going to church, and you look to see that it is a good church. You're not just to go anywhere just to be religious. But you're going into a soul-winning church. You're going into a church that loves the Lord. You're going into a church that has unity in the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. You're coming together. It may be a small group. It may be a large group. But you're searching out what stands upon the truth, the Word of God. So, husband, father, you're the man. You're the leader of that house. Be a leader. Don't lead your family away, or don't back up and be lazy about it and let your wife, mother of your children, have to take that responsibility. Don't do that. That's a shameful thing. You recognize what your responsibility is, and it is to raise your children to honor praise and glorify the Lord. It's your responsibility, husband and father, to lead these people, these children of yours, to the Lord Jesus, to His saving knowledge, and then help them to see the need of service. Now, sometimes they listen and sometimes they don't, but it's our responsibility to show them the way. Don't show them another way, because most do. Most show another way, the way of the world. And so, to begin with, that you're a leader. Now, then we come up to the next leadership of the church. The leadership of the church has to be strong. The leadership of the church has to be in unity of the Holy Spirit. And as they lead according to the truth, the Word of God, why, you will find great things. And again, not necessarily material, not even necessarily with health, but with the praise and honor and glory of God and the His presence in your life. And you can't imagine the blessings that He will pour out upon you. But it has to come because, and it only will come. There's a lot of programs that seem to be successful, but they are not of God. And we know they're not of God because they've left the Word of God. You leave the Word of God and you try to decipher some way to make this plan of yours work, and you're saying that the result will justify the means. That is never, ever, ever true in the Word of God. So please, that you, as husbands, you be a leader, and you lead your family, and you bring your family. Don't send your family. That's a disgrace. Bring your family. Next is you be a spiritual leader in the church, because the church is the next level up. And so we need to be a spiritual leader. Now, each time we have the same master. We have the same king. And that king is the Lord Jesus Christ. And whether you're leading your family, that king is present. Your king is present. Savior, Master, the Lord Jesus. As leadership of the church, it's the same way. It's never a majority, my friend. It's following the king. We have got to follow the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, our Savior, Jesus Christ. So you see, it begins in the home, then it moves to the church. And so as we do that, and that leadership, the wisdom that God gives us, it needs to pour out into the communities, into the government. It needs to be God-led. It's the only salvation we have of this country, is if it starts to be God-led, or once again is God-led, would be a better statement, I suppose. Now, please, men, take on that responsibility. Now, all that is said for the main purpose of showing what happened to these men. They weren't just anybody. They were leaders of their tribes that was sent in to spy out the land. They were men, important men. It wasn't just, hey, Joe, you go, Sam, you go, Fred, you go. It wasn't that at all. It's they chose leaders to go up to spy this land out. Good people, solid people, should have been good, solid spiritual leaders, but they weren't. They were weak. They were chosen. They went up and spied the land out, and they came back, and they forsook the Lord. They did not stand for their Lord. They come back and they stood for their eyes and their ears, their feelings. You know, that's the way most people worship today. That's the only way they think that it's a good place, if their eyes and their ears and their feelings are taken care of. Well, my religion is not a religion of feelings. My God, if he chose to go to the cross of Calvary, and if he was set upon feelings, he would have eliminated that cross, because I guarantee you that is the crucifixion is the most painful death you can have. So you see, it's not a feel good religion. Ours is a religion that's set upon the Word of God. and we follow that word in season, out season, whether we feel like it or not. We praise Him and we honor Him according to the Word of God, not according to our feelings, not according to our eyes, not according to our ears, not according to the beat of our foot. You know, people flock to places where they play this ungodly music, and they call it Christian rock. Never, ever go any place that has that. You don't even have to go check to see if the doctrine's right, because the leadership is a mess. So please, come and look to the Word of God. Let's see what happened to these leaders, quote, leaders. And the men which Moses sent to search the land, who reported, who searched the land, let me get my page straight here, who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up a slander upon the land. Yes, it's flowing with milk and honey, but they brought up an evil report. And because of that, look what has happened to these leaders. And my friend, there's going to be a judgment day for every husband and father that is not being the spiritual leader. There's going to be a judgment day for every preacher. There's going to be a judgment day for every church board that stood up and stood up against the Word of God because they thought that the result, the end, justified the means. And it never does. It never does. These men, verse 37, even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land died by the plague before the Lord. Joshua and Caleb, they were men that went to search the land, lived still. Why did God choose to spare Joshua and Caleb? It's because they stood, they said, we will take the land. God will go before us and deliver us. The 10 didn't, and the 10 were put to death. Judgment came immediately. Now you say, well, I'm saved, so I mean, I don't have to worry about that. You have to worry about a judgment, because God will judge you. And if you wonder why you struggle so hard and you just don't have any strength and no wisdom, and it just seems like everything that you do or touch falls apart, you know, that can happen to a believer that's serving the Lord. But the difference is that his mind and his heart will be set upon the Lord, and he will still be able to praise Him. You're complaining. You're harping. You can't figure out what's going on. You don't know why. I'll tell you why. You've deceived the Lord. You've decided to give an evil report. You're telling your children it's not important, maybe just by you not coming to church. Maybe you're a church leader, and you've been giving some bad advice. There's going to be a time that you're going to be held accountable. Will you go to hell for it? No. But there will be a time of judgment, a time of loss. Going to be an awful lot of wood, hay, and stubble in our works, in our service unto the Lord, I'm afraid. We find that they are put to death immediately. And then we come to the rest. And Moses told these things to all the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly. You think, okay, now they're going to have another time. These men are dead, these 10. They're done. But then he told all the people what was going to go on. And they rose up early in the morning and got them up to the top of the mountain, saying, lo, we be here, we will go up. There is a time it's too late. I hope it's not too late for you. Hope it's not too late for you to come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. Ask forgiveness of sins. Set Him before you. Trust Him as your Savior. And I hope it's not too late for you to get your children and your family and lead them. It was too late. How about for you? Is it too late? If it is, just ask God to forgive you and start to serve Him as quick as you can. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?